The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouyeh. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Mouyeh, your host tonight. And tonight, we're going to be talking about bowling. But before we get into that subject matter, I want to just bring you up to date on a few things. I am very saddened to tell you that John Mackey, our famous tight end, which an award is named for, has passed away. It's kind of ironic because John made the game and he made the position of tight end. And he is in the Hall of Fame. And he was definitely a very stalwart member of the union back then. And some people argue the reason why he didn't get in the Hall of Fame until several tries was because of the fact he had supported the union. But it's ironic that, in fact, the union, with its lockout provisions and all of the different collective bargaining issues, have won the right for retirees to receive pensions and also the right for retirees that, in fact, suffer with the dementia that John Mackey had, also will receive additional rights. It's ironic he would die on the eve of that when the lockout at this point in time has been called off and that we're just about ready to get back into the football season. So I want to say a few things about John. I had his wife on the show, and of course Sylvia is a lovely person. Sylvia is known for the 88 plan, and this is where, when she found out her husband had dementia, he was receiving $25 or so in pensions. She went to Paul Tagliabue and said, look, my husband is not receiving any money whatsoever. At least you can pay him for his number, and his number was 88. As a result of that, there is something called the 88 plan, that if an individual is in an assisted living facility or of that fact, they can receive $88,000. If, in fact, they are not and they're at home, they receive $50,000. So she is known and celebrated for the 88 plan. But now, of course, the dollars that he was receiving as a tight end, it pales to what we see now in the NFL. But we want to say good night to you, John. You played a great game. You left a great legacy. You will always be remembered, enshrined in the John Mackey Award. And also, we send you good wishes because you are a great friend of Sports Mavericks. And good night. Folks, let's get on a more lighter note. You know, we're talking about bowling. And one of the things we do in the month of July, we talk about sports equality. And a big story that I read the other day is how difficult it is for women in Afghanistan to play sports because of the outfits are outlawed, you know, by the Taliban. And then also women who are in Pakistan and have a similar problem. But in fact, they can be some of the greatest athletes out there, but they really haven't had an opportunity. Well, sports in itself can be a tool. It can build and it can rebuild a sense of community. You know, it did it in Haiti. You know, it has done it all over the world in troubled spots. But in a community where you're trying to bring a sense of community, what comes along with that is fun, team building, friendship, trust, exercise, healthy lifestyle. It employs people. It teaches people competition. It's a way out of poverty. It keeps you fit and healthy. And it teaches values and leadership. And these are things that people have known over the years, that sports can be one of those tools that can cut across barriers, including even sometimes race barriers. Well, tonight in my studio, I have a story for you about the humble beginnings of the National Bowling Association. Now, the National Bone Association has a very, very distinct history. It started in 1939. And I have with me tonight the president of that organization, which now I think it marks almost close to 72 years in existence. And I'm going to welcome to the show the president of that organization, Dr. Michael L. Boken. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, Di. I'm so excited to be here, and I just am elated that you have taken this time to take out of your busy schedule to acknowledge the sport of bowling. It's a really great night.
Well, it's interesting, Dr. Boken, because I'm looking at your resume,
mm-hmm.
and I can see that you have been an avid bowler for over 40 years yourself.
Yes, I have. So with the young age of 53, I can tell you that I can vividly remember my mom and dad picking up a bowling ball and me pushing it through my legs. But equally, as a child who grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, I also remember quite clearly the junior program that began the fundamentals of bowling and, most importantly, the love for the game.
Excellent, excellent. Now, I know with the bowling, there comes with it, obviously, you know, various different strategies, various different type of skills and things like that, and I want to get into that. But what I want you to do is just share with my audience out there some of the milestones of the development of the National Bowling Association. I mentioned at the beginning of the hour here that you were organized in Detroit in 1939, and then, of course, you played your first annual tournament in Cleveland in 1939, you were incorporated in 1941 in the state of Ohio, and then, of course, you changed your name in 1944. What was the original name of the organization?
Well, and you're accurately giving those numbers that our listeners need to understand, that we were originally called the National Negro Bowling Association in August 20th of 1939, and that was simply, most importantly, due to the exclusion in which we couldn't participate with our other Americans, be it Caucasian or whatever other ethnicity, excluding being an African American, or what we were at that point, a Negro Bowling Association. So that's what predicated, really, when you say what began development of the National Bowling Association, or the Negro Bowling Association, then it was due to the unfortunate issues of exclusion. And at that point, with that being the only challenge that we had, I'm here to tell you that I know of those still living members who talk about the days in which, where if it was a train ride or a bus ride, in which they took every obstacle that they could in order to get together to fellowship and bowl. And it was unique in its development, but how it has proliferated over 72 years is only a testament to the courage and the stamina of the bowlers, and most importantly, because they love the sport of bowling.
Outstanding, and I understand the whole objective was to improve the skills in the 10-pin. And a lot of people know bowling, they don't realize there's other different variations on it, but the 10-pin was the main objective here.
Yes, it was. And, you know, the history of bowling, we have some historians that talk about pre-Egyptian days and how the game evolved, and we looked at different aspects of bowling, but we called it back then the sport of 10 pins. And when we embarked on meaning TMBA, which we affectionately call TMBA, and our motto, which will live strong and has been since the inception in 1939, was sportsmanship, fellowship, and friendship. So when we begin with the founding five cities that began, which were Cleveland, Chicago, Cincinnati, Detroit, and Toledo, those were the true cities that began the sport, and everything from that would proliferate and generate knowledge, interest among the African Americans on bowling, participating, competing. Now, when we moved on into the 1950s, especially 53, that we began to acknowledge the sport of bowling, that the Caucasian rule was removed. And I say that in the aspect because that's how it was defined. But since then, TNBA has opened its doors and changed its name, which became the National Bowling Association, open to everyone. And we felt that that was the ability to demonstrate to what was called the American Bowling Congress then that everyone should be able to enjoy this sport, participate, and most importantly, demonstrate sportsmanship amongst all of the bowlers across the world. So it began that way, but most importantly, I'm here to say now that the racial lines truly have disappeared. There's no more racial barriers at this point on either end of the two most major important bowling organizations of the world.
That's outstanding. That's outstanding. Now, I realize that there's a name like Joe Blue,
yes,
and J. Elmer Reed that are very prominent in your organization. Tell my audience who those individuals are.
Yes. As our TMBA began to develop and evolved, there were certain premises that were obviously most important. Number one, the postal workers of the United States, the Postal Alliance, developed a coveted award back in 1945 that would be very, very superior and important, which we called the Joe Blue Award, for an outstanding achievement in memory of one of TMBA's founding members. When we talk about Mr. Sidney Chesting, you know, who was, you know, just one of, I wish I had the opportunity to demonstrate back in Detroit in August of 1939, where the men and women got together and originally formed what we call the National Bowling Association. It was very, very clear that not only men, but women would have a super instrumental part. And Mr. Sidney Celestine was one of the most important members and a president back in 1949 to 1950. One other very, very coveted award as that was coupled with, and still is today, let me make that clear, still today, as is the Joe Blue, is the Mary Wilkes, which was also to demonstrate to our women that the Secretary of the Year and her aspects of being involved in developing, handling the business affairs, and most importantly, seeing to it that the business of bowling was being handled. J. Elmer Reed, obviously pivotal, very, very, very pivotal back in 67, who became the first black to receive a membership in the Cleveland Hall of Fame. They just began to set pivotal landmarks that demonstrated that not only did blacks belong in bowling, but they were very, very good at it.
Outstanding. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back here in three, and we're talking about bowling. So stay tuned. We've got a lot of information to share with you. And, folks, bowling is going to be very exciting, so take notes. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moye, your host. You're listening to the Sports Mavery Show.
Speak a lot of their words, and you know, talk is cheap. Talking only gets you nowhere.
your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Are you ready for an old school in your face discussion of professional, college, and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kennard. You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative. From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moyet, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show. Tonight, of course, if you've been with us in the first part of the hour here, we have a very special guest. It is the president of the National Bowling Association, Dr. Michael L. Boykins. And he's here with us talking about the 72-year history of this wonderful organization. If you've been listening, you heard about the milestones that it went through from being an advocate group to take off racial barriers to actually being able to now compete in all tournaments and now to have a rich history of 72 years. So I want to welcome Dr. Boykins back to the show. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Boykins.
Thank you so much, Ms. Moyet. I'm excited to be here, and it's so great to just talk about bowling period. And I don't know if you are aware, but I think it was almost 10 days ago, the United States Bowling Congress was in Dallas at the Arlington area, and we had the Women's U.S. Open Bowling Championship at the Cowboy Stadium on the 50-yard line.
Outstanding.
We competed for $50,000 total prize winning. So that is a an offshoot, but it's all about bowling. And I'm equally honored to say that I was a participant there and was able to speak to the United Bowling Congress about this great organization that I chair, and that's the National Bowling Association.
Well, you know, in our previous conversations here, we were talking about how you've gone through the sports play equity aspect of this, where now it's open to anyone. And I want to share some economics with you here. You know, bowling in 2010 was considered as the number one participation sport in the world. And this came, again, from the Bowling Proprietary Association of America. Significant growth came in 2010, 4.6% increase in consumer participation, with nearly 70 million having bowled in 2009.
Unbelievable.
So you're having a banner year, and
yes,
what they're seeing is that this increase is actually coming from young bowlers and female bowlers.
Yes, yes, indeed. And I echo with you, and you know, I've heard that number of 7 million, but to hear it again and know it comes from the Bowling Proprietors Association of America, who do awesome work in statistics and making sure that not only do the bowlers compete, participate with great conditions and great specifications of balls and lanes, but they are so friendly in opening up different ideas that fun bowling has become so prevalent across the United States that if it's Friday night or if it's birthday parties or even if it's the geriatric world, which we call our senior citizens who love to bowl, the bowling proprietors across the world open their doors to see to it that every facet of this game is equally able to be experienced. And that's so commendable, because when you talk about 7 million people, Ida, that's a lot of different age genders, and we have to make sure that we keep them all interested. And our young bowlers, and especially our women, have really chelated and joined the game and the effort to become not only just bowlers, but to become good in their respective ranks. We don't just take a bowler and say, you must be the great bowler. We take you and say, now, if this is the level that you're at, we're going to help you excel, learn, and get better. But while you're doing that, we want you to experience and enjoy it. And there are awards and different programs that appreciate each level of each bowler, be it if you are from the juniors to the athlete of the middle age or the seniors. It's all available. And I think that attributes to why there's so many bowlers across the United States.
Well, you know, looking at other sports, and because I report on a lot of different sports, it's not uncommon that you will actually see the major corporations come in and use bowling as incentive for employees. I've seen that Pepsi's been involved in it, Budweiser's been involved, the wrestling entertainment's been involved, Jolly Time Popcorn's been involved, Tony Pizza's been involved in those type of things. But we're also seeing a rise of these large family entertainment centers. As you know, even in the recession, these numbers are increasing, and I think it has a lot to do with people really getting back to family. I think it's getting back to family. And that's what's been really missing by a lot of the other type of entertainment, is that people are trying to get back to family. Because when I look at the numbers from the study, the average age is 34 years of age, and 50% of them are women.
Isn't that amazing? And you're right on. I mean, it's still the family sport that allows everyone to go out, enjoy, have a great time, and what you look at is that there's physical activity, and most importantly, you're able to look, be it at the screen, be it at your family members, and say, I had a great game. Next game, you had a great game. It is equally enjoying, and it's a fulfillment as far as night fun or, you know, family fun that is so important when you're trying to structure a family and then open the doors for that, you know, those basic core things we talk about when we deal with family values.
Now, when we talk about spreading this sport across the actual United States, I think your founding, you know, cities were mostly coal cities. So when did it move south? Because now we're seeing such a great development in the south.
You're exactly right. I mean, when we talk about bowling and when it developed, as I stated, the core cities might have been Detroit, Chicago, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Indianapolis, St. Louis, Milwaukee, Buffalo, New York. These were the core areas that set the precedence for us to open the door for the bowling to either move south or west. And, you know, back in 58, one of the other major cities for TMBA was Washington, D.C. Well, Washington, D.C. began to set the precedent so that not only was it just huge for bowling, but it allowed the southern areas to really begin to develop. When we look at the West, we talk about 1968. That's when Los Angeles became opened its doors to the National Bowling Association. And when that occurred, we were able to set a track road so that Las Vegas and things of those natures were open. When we go real south, it was 1976. That's when we opened the doors to the Bayou, New Orleans, Louisiana. That's when we went to Memphis. That's when we went to Jacksonville, Florida. Those opened the doors for the southern regions to really open up. One of our major bowling hubs right now is Atlanta, Georgia. That followed, and I guess you could see the trend where we started in the about right around 76, and so subsequently that opened the door for Atlanta. And when that happened, it just spread all across the South. When we
look at, almost like that migration back to the South, you know, mm-hmm. people were leaving and moving back to the South in the 70s, because I moved back to the South from Detroit. So that's when you started to see people moving to the South. Atlanta was opening up, opportunities seemed to be opening up, and people were moving. So maybe the flow of the jobs from the North to some of them to the South, to some of those centers, may have had a big impact on it, because it tends to be a family game in a lot of respects, I would think. So as families moved around, obviously bowling becomes one of those staples, I would think. Tell us a little bit about the membership of your organization, and how can somebody become a member of it?
Certainly. The National Bowling Association, TMBA, again, we affectionately call, its headquarters is in Evandale, Ohio, which is very close to Dayton. Our website, which is tmbainc.org, is easily, readily available, and memberships are able to be purchased and handled right there. We have approximately about 25,000 seniors, about 10,000 to 12,000 junior bowlers. So we're about 40,000 members across the United States. But we equally participate in about 114 to about 115 cities that allow and offer TMBA membership. It is $20 to become a member. What that allows you to do is to participate in TMBA functions, TMBA leagues, and most importantly, TMBA tournaments. TMBA tournaments, there are 10 national tournaments. We have what are called 4 regionals. We have our national, which runs 10 days in whatever the selected city. Last year, we were in Anaheim, Orange County, Florida. This year, we were in Detroit, Michigan. Next year, we will be in Indianapolis, Indiana. In which where our handicap, our scratch, our men, our women, and our seniors all have divisions in which they compete. The members are then, upon membership, able to participate in their local cities in what we call TMBA leagues. They are also recipients of awards from patches, to what we call chevrons, to pins, to rings. The days of Ida, the days of trophies have long gone. The bowlers across the country are looking for either financial or the souvenir awards, in which, as I just depicted, are either of patches, of chevrons, and most importantly, rings. Rings that go from gold rings to diamond rings, and emblem stones that indicate, if you're a bowler, you know, rings that indicate, did I bowl a high honor score? Did I bowl a perfect game? Did I bowl three perfect games in the course of a league night? So there are quite a bit of pluses and things to be a part of. We're the first to tell you, a TNBA event is like no other event.
Outstanding. Well, listen, we're going to take another break here, folks, and we got some questions coming from our audience. I'm going to be coming back to you. So let's take our three-minute break. We'll be back in three. You listen to the Sports Maverick Show. We're talking bowling. Be back in three.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know, talk is cheap.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. That goes O'Neill. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyet, and if you've been listening to us tonight, we've been talking about bowling. And a lot of times when you hear about bowling, you're thinking to yourself, you know, when's the last time I bowled? But let me tell you, over 70 million people bowled in 2009, and bowling again ranks as the nation's number one participatory sport. That's following four consecutive years of growth for this industry. So this is no Whistling Dixie here. We actually got something going here, and now more than 60% of all our bowlers under the age of 34 and half are women. So folks, when you say you don't have anything to do, you need to go out and bowl because it's a great entertainment. There's great folks out there. And in my studio tonight, I've got with me Dr. Boykin. Dr. Boykin is the president of an organization called the National Bowling Association. It's 72 years strong, and I'm going to welcome Dr. Boykin back to the show.
Thank you, Ida. I'm so honored to be here, and just the ability to talk about not only bowling, but the National Bowling Association, whose motto and mantra, again, is sportsmanship, fellowship, and friendship. We've been promoting that for over 72 years, and we've gone across approximately 114 cities throughout the United States.
Well, I've got some questions for you, and this question is coming from Arkansas, and it's coming from Lily Lim, and Lily Lim wants to know, what is the health benefits of bowling, doctor?
Well, Lily, that is a great, great question, and on our website, tmbainc.org, we even there do a special section that talks about health and bowling. One of the most important things about bowling is that it's easily demonstrated that whatever your age, you can always participate. We have bowlers who are up in the age of the mid-70s to mid-80s. My mom, Marietta, who is over 70, who is 75 years old, still participates in a league today. But one of the most important aspects of bowling is that it continues your physical exercise. It allows you to be flexible, competitive. So it is a physical, it is a mental, and a spiritual, just really, really great avenue to aid that person in bowling. I'm always the first to tell you, our competitive bowlers, be it if they are men or women, on any given night, they get prepared to go to what we call league night, and are able to compete and win and say, I'm the bowler of the night. That's a great emotional and inspirational aspect that keeps you pumped up, that keeps you flowing, that keeps your mental, physical attributes in well-tuned fashion. It's a great sport.
So apart from the physical benefits, there's also some psychosocial benefits that come from in terms of strengthening friendship.
You're right on, because, you know, there are team sports, and bowling has the ability, the unique ability, bowling on a league night has the ability to be a team sport, but you are still individually that person, man, woman, competing against the bowler who's on the opposite lane. Now, I'm the first to tell you, all it takes is a female bowler who's bowling against a male that night. She's looking to tear them apart, Ida. And I'm here to tell you, it happens more than not.
So that's a sport you can really turn it on, huh?
And
ladies, are you listening to that out there? Take your boyfriend bowling. Take your husband bowling.
The women are the better bowlers, I'm here to tell you. They really are.
Okay,
they really are.
Another question. This question is coming from Vern Johnson, and he's actually from San Antonio, Texas. And he's asking about what is the safety, I mean, in terms of, you know, protecting your hands, your legs, your knees, your wrists, back. What is the safety aspects of it?
That's a great question, Stan. I think when you ask that question, the first thing that comes to my mind is that not only is it a healthy and most importantly a safe sport, that effort and those numbers are demonstrated by the age differentials from our youth bowlers, as I said, and all the way up until our elderly. So the safety factors of breaking bones, of tearing ligaments, of pulling muscles are very, very rare. Now, bowling is like any other sports, requires some warm-up, some stretching, and most importantly, practice. Practice is a crucial point of bowling, so that when one does get out for a recreational event versus a sports and competitive event, you have to be in shape. Now, if we're going out to just have a recreational Friday, Saturday event, that's one thing. But if you're going to compete at whatever level you are of competitive status, you have to take the time and be prepared by warm-up, by practice, and then some physical stamina. But on the safety end, that longevity, bowling has to rank as one of the greatest sports to give you the years, the time, and most importantly, the reward to allow you to participate in this sport.
Awesome. Okay, question's coming from Maxine View. She says, how do you score a bowling game?
Okay, the scoring of bowling has been very, very standard and has never changed. The bowler bowls 12 frames. In that potential, the highest score that can be achieved via a scratch score is 300. That means a bowler must bowl 12 strikes in a row. And that final frame, that 10th frame, you have three balls in which you have to bowl the most pressured strikes in the world, in which where you bowl a perfect game. What a great, great reward. It's one in which the entire, I can tell you on a league night, when a bowler, or a tournament, when a bowler bowls a perfect game, in that bowling center, the entire audience stops to see what that 12th ball is going to do. So the pressure is unbelievable, but the rewards and the benefits are worth a lifetime. The reward of a ring, a plaque, or a trophy, which is very rare now, but a plaque, a ring, are often given to those bowlers who reach that coveted award. I would say 75% of our bowlers across the United States, 7 million strong, typically average somewhere between 155 to 180. So there is so much room there for competitive abilities of the bowlers and parity that on any given day, any bowler can beat the other. Now, as you stated, Ida, the women bowlers have taken over America in that their competitive skills, their fundamentals are just so strong that they're able to compete not only with the women, but easily with the men.
Unbelievable. Okay, one more question, and this question is coming from George Gore. He wants to know about ball release and techniques and style.
Mm-hmm. Well, and those are the fundamentals of bowling that, obviously, with any sport, if we increase and develop our fundamentals, so will our score increase. A typical bowler is either a 4 or 5-step approach to a lane. The bowling ball equipment has evolved in which there are certain surfaces. If it is a reactive or a resin, which are a dull surface, or a pearlized, which may be of a shiny, glossy surface. These balls are developed so that they give the bowler either a shorter or a longer reaction in order to get to what we call the pocket. That is where the pins, there are 10 pins that are each numbered, but the pocket is where you try to allow that ball to hook, roll, skid, hook, and roll into the pocket in which they hit the 1 and the 3 pin from the right side, or the 1 and the 2 pin from the left side. These are the fundamentals that are assuredly going to develop what we call a strike. The strike is obviously the most important and exciting part of bowling, but I can hear to tell you there are almost 1,072 different spares a bowler could leave after that first ball. So that second ball that they have to throw, which is called the spare shot, is as equally as important. And that's where the skill, that's where the fundamentals develop. And how you present the ball, how you release the ball. Do you come through the ball, or do you have certain releases that either enhance or inhibit your potential to either strike or spare? Those are the fundamentals that develop in bowling. So it makes the bowler, who is equally excited about participating but wanting to learn these things, that make him a better bowler and then subsequently a good tournament bowler.
Excellent. Okay, right. Okay, George, you got a few techniques there. You know, go out there and make it a game. We're going to take another break here. We're going to be back for our last segment of our show. And I have one more question for you about scholarships in bowling. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moye. You listen to the Sports Maverick Show.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moye, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moye. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. If you've been with us for most part of this hour, you've been listening and learning about the sport of bowling. But more importantly, our special guest, which is the National Bowling Association, has been a stalwart and an advocate in equality of sports. And folks, bowling has come a long way. Over 70 million people for bowlers in 2009. We're seeing a four-year consecutive growth on that, and it is depicted in that 60% of the population is mostly women who are out there bowling. So women are coming. They love the bowling. They love the sport, and it's a great afternoon for you on a Saturday with your family as well. But in my studio, I have with me the president of the organization, Dr. Michael L. Boken, and I want to ask him one more question that has been asked about scholarships in bowling, because I hear a lot about, can I get a scholarship in this sport? And just tell them a little, my audience out there, a little bit how that's developed.
Thank you, Ida. And I'll be short, but let me say that the opportunities for scholarships and bowling go hand in hand. From the junior level, in which these scholarships are utilized towards a student's college enhancement and subsequently their secondary college or secondary school studies for graduate, but most importantly our intercollegiate and the granddaddy of them all, the NCAA, have developed scholarship bowling to its height of unbelievable proportion. I am fortunate to be the assistant coach with my wife, Vicki Boykins, at Jackson State University in our sixth year, in which we have offered approximately 27 full scholarships for academic studies for a four-year program for young women through the sport of bowling. That is unprecedented. I can tell you there are over 45 schools across the United States, from Vanderbilt to Nebraska to Maryland Eastern Shores, who has set precedence in scholarship bowling for young women across the country to the Wichita States, to the Pikevilles, to Indiana. It is unbelievable what is offered for young women and men through the sport of bowling to see to it that their career and their development for whatever type of job and opportunity for investment in life is secure, but it's secure through the sport of bowling. And absolutely. NCAA bowling is absolutely phenomenal.
Well, you know, when my producers came to me with asking me to do a story on bowling, I was just overwhelmed by it because as a young girl in Detroit, I was taken bowling by one of my childhood friends, Jerutha Simpson Dow, who played in Detroit for over 20 to 30 some odd years. I understand, Dr. Boykin, you were there in Detroit, and she is somebody that I was very impressed with. But then when I found out that this organization also started in Detroit, it was quite a really wonderful feeling for me to do this show. And then the most important thing is that the organization, the National Bowling Association, has been chosen as the Sports Maverick Sports Legacy Organization of 2011. I want to congratulate your organization for being chosen by our board. And it's a wonderful thing. We looked at your 72-year history. We looked at your advocacy. We looked at your excellence in the community. And we looked at the fact that not only are you a sports organization, but you're an academic organization and a community organization. And so congratulations to you. We will be sending you a wonderful plaque inscribing that legacy for you. And in addition to that, because of my memories of Jerutha Simpson, we called her Dow, as being some of a stalwart advocate herself in the community in the city of Detroit and very much aware of the struggles in bowling that she talked to me about, that we have looked at her history and realized that she equally has been called our Legacy Award winner. And we usually take an athlete and we name them. She's our Legacy Award winner of 2011 as well. So I have in the studio with me Janine Davis, which is a niece, because, of course, Mrs. Simpson has gone on, you know, to better places in heaven. And so, Janine, tell us a little bit about the love of your aunt for bowling.
She was just enthralled with bowling. I remember as a young girl, 8 or 9 years old, she would take me on different trips with her. We would travel all around the country where she would go bowling. Her son, who was about 10 years younger than I, he had a bowling ball in his hand at 2 years old and became a bowler in his own right. Anyone that knows her knew of her love for bowling. And she, you spoke earlier about bowling being a family sport. She really epitomized that and brought the family around bowling, which was an amazing experience.
Well, we're just so glad to be able to posthumously give her this award and to recognize not only her, you know, stalwartness in the community, because she was one of the co-founders of American Business Women's Association, I understand, as well. And that's quite an accomplishment, you know, encouraging women to get scholarships and, you know, being mentoring those women into being great people, but then also to embrace the love of bowling. And I'm sure if she had anything to say about it, she was an advocate as well. So I remember having a very strong personality and really, really standing up for rights. So I'm very happy to at least give her this award and also, you know, introduce her to the National Bowling Association. And hopefully you can say a few words about that, Mr. Boykin. So there's a really good opportunity here that maybe she could be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, I do. I really, really, I'm so enthralled. Let me first say about us being recipients of your award, we are so grateful and honored. To Janine, I want to take this opportunity, Ms. Davis, to tell you, as president of the National Bowling Association, we have a coveted Hall of Fame award ceremony and program, which is demonstrated during what we call our TMBA week, which is every year at our national convention and our national tournament. As I indicated, the last 10 days of May, we are in one city in which we bring 7 to 12 different million dollars worth of revenue into that city. We were in Detroit this past May. We will be back there in 2014. It is my goal that you and I will talk, that we're going to see to it that Ms. Dahl Simpson is recognized by the National Bowling Association. I can tell you that. You know, Ida, you need to know one fact. Back in the 60s and 70s, there were more bowling centers. We call them bowling alleys. There were more bowling alleys in the state of Michigan than the entire United States. Bowling is Michigan, bowling is Detroit, and the kegglers that were traditionally called were pronounced and phenomenal. TMBA's legacy is so strongly demonstrated by the amount of bowlers in TMBA, by their senate, their city that supports TMBA, by some of the pioneers. One of the first black bowlers of United States who became the greatest black male bowler was the Bill Rodmans, who demonstrated what bowling was and made it and bowled the first 300 perfect game. So I could go on and on about the legacy
folks,
of Detroit.
As you know, it's the end of the show. And
I know. I'm sorry.
I want to be able to invite you guys back, okay? Don't be a stranger. We're going to talk more about this. This is exciting. Anyways, folks, that's it. Another great show. We'll see you next week. This is Ida Moy, your host, and you were listening to the Sports Maverick Show. Good night. Good night. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.